This episode is sponsored to you by BetterHelp. Have you guys been struggling lately? Maybe you're having trouble sleeping, going through a tough spot in a relationship, or you're just feeling down and want to talk to somebody. Well, the good news is that BetterHelp wants to help you today. You've heard Alex and myself preach on this show over and over again the importance of mental health, not only with professional athletes, but with you guys and ourselves. A couple years ago, I was going through a tough time in a relationship on top of being in the military, being away from family, and some other things. And I actually reached out to BetterHelp, and they took great care of me, you guys. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to help you. There are over 20,000 therapists that are in BetterHelp's network. So if maybe you don't fit right with one, then you can request a new therapist at no additional charge. Signing up is so easy. You just fill out a questionnaire to access your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. I promise you guys, it is that quick. Then you schedule a secure video or phone session at your convenience in the comfort of your own home. Plus, you get unlimited messages with your therapist. Join the more than 2 million people that have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Look, you knew we weren't going to leave you guys high and dry. BetterHelp was kind enough to give our listeners 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/216baseball. Again, that is betterhelp.com, the numbers 216baseball. Thanks again for BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Guys, seriously, go take charge of your own mental health. And welcome back to 216 Baseball, Cleveland Baseball Podcast. His name's Alex. My name's Paul. And if you guys are going through it because this team is not playing very well right now, you're in the right spot. Let's get into it. What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Like personally, I am. I mean, yeah. As far as the team's concerned, I mean, you could hear it in the low energy of your voice.
I wanted it to be somber. I wanted it to come off like I was in pain.
Not mad, just disappointed. But yeah, you can tell. Usually it's, and welcome back. But it's like, if any of the Guardians players listen to this, which we know that at least one has before. Sorry about that. Whoops. Flex. They don't. But if they do, well, someone did. But if they were, they'd hear it and they'd be like, oh, they're not mad. They're disappointed. Like, that's actually kind of worse.
Papa does not give you kisses.
Yeah. Papa put you in your room. Papa put you in timeout.
Papa give you panking.
Yeah. Did you say a panking?
Yeah. A panking.
Oh, no. But how are you doing, dude?
Good. I'm tired. I've been dragging the past couple days. I'm on a new schedule for work. And 2 to 10. The first couple days, like, it's not that bad of a shift. It goes by pretty quickly. I have my mornings where I can still do stuff. I get home at 10 and I still have time to do stuff at night. But like, anytime I switch to a new schedule, the first couple days I always end up dragging.
Yeah, I mean, it's just completely changing. You were on like mornings or like early. Yeah. You were on 6 to 2. Now you're on 2 to 10. And that's not as bad. But then I know you're going to get flipped to like 10 to 6 or whatever. And that's going to be something to behold.
I do have some pretty exciting news. I'm going to be coaching around middle school age kids, coaching some little league for fall ball. I'm real excited about it. So I'm excited for you. If you guys catch me wearing Phillies stuff, you know why. It's not because I'm giving up. It's because I'm coaching. The team I'm coaching is the Phillies. So,
Andy loves Bryce Harper. So we would have all understood. Yeah,
and Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, and Kyle Schwarber. I didn't think about that.
Yep. So if you guys catch me lacking wearing some Phillies stuff, you know why. I'm not a traitor. I'm just repping my team, I guess. I don't know.
So I have a question for you, and I'm not trying to be pedantic. Like, I'm really not trying to be an ass when I ask. When it's middle school, would you still consider that little league? I'm sorry, or is it just like middle school?
So it's like intermediate. Okay. It still runs through Virginia Beach Little League's like organization, but it's considered intermediate level. Growing up, for me, it was called F-ball. It went G-H-F, and then high school. But that was when I was playing. I was playing in Hot Stove, not Little League. So it's like a different brand, I guess I would be the word. It's weird. It's just like a different organization.
I was just curious because when you said Little League, in my mind, you were going to coach a bunch of like 7 or 8 year olds.
There's not a chance in hell I would coach 7 or 8 year olds. I specifically unchecked that box.
Like you love kids, but you're like, I'm trying to teach some more organized ball.
Well, I my biggest thing is I don't want to be the team that's like, well, at least we're going out there and having fun. You know what I mean?
No, like you're you're going to run them into the ground. Well, you understand? I want you to destroy your opponent.
I want to be the team that's competitive, but also still has fun because baseball is a fun game. You hear us say it all the time, but I want to be the team. And it's they're middle school, so they understand the concept of baseball, and it's fall ball. So normally the only people that play fall ball are people that are serious about baseball that's true. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that these kids are a little bit more competitive. And
I think you're going to find you might end up getting your feelings hurt. Some of these kids these days are pretty good.
Like, yeah, I know.
You might see some of these kids and be like, God damn, you might be coaching this fucking team. Like,
so I've been texting the coach on and off a little bit, the head coach.
Building rapport in the clubhouse. It's very important. The coaching staff has to have one united front. You got to know exactly the direction of this team. So I think that's really important.
So I was telling him that growing up, I was a catcher, played a little middle infielder, infield and third base. And that's kind of where my specialties lie. I know a decent bit about pitching from being a catcher. But when it comes to outfield, I know the basics, but never played the outfield, was never good at it. So
did you ever play middle infield? I thought you just played third and first.
I played second base pretty much up until once I hit middle school ball. That's when I started catching. But all the way up until that, I was pretty much a second baseman.
Today I learned. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you, I thought you were pretty much always kind of a catcher, a little third base. And then I knew you kind of moved to first and like in the Italian league or whatever.
When
you lived in Sicily.
Them
knees aren't what they used to be.
Yeah. Once baseball like got serious, like middle school, that's when I started catching. Up until then I played second base most of the time.
Okay. I guess I kind of know that now that I think about it, but I always just brand you as a catcher by like personality, by everything.
Pretty much almost a super utility guy. So
yeah, sorry about that.
I can go play the outfield. I used to be able to take decent lines, but was not fast. So
not Miles Straw.
Yeah. So I was not able to run down a lot of balls, but I'm excited. I'm excited to be around the game more. I'm excited to like pass on knowledge to sounds super cliche, but pass on knowledge to, like the next generation of baseball players.
I don't think it's cliche. I think that baseball's about that, and it's
and something I think love. It's I'm gonna be the drippiest fucking coach you've ever did see.
Just go out there in a tracksuit.
Gold chains.
Yeah, just hey, sorry about that. Martinez, if I don't see you run that out, I'm gonna beat your ass. Martinez, I swear to God, you let up one more. If you don't keep that ball in front of you, I'm gonna fuck your mom. I see her eye in me.
my one buddy was sitting there, he's like, all right guys, so I'm gonna line you up in order of the hotness of your moms. Johnson, you're at the last. You're all the way at the end.
Timmy, you already know, buddy. You're first in line.
Number one in the field, number one in our hearts, Tim.
It reminds me of Pain and Gain, which is one of my favorite movies. And Mark Wahlberg's like, he dunks on like a little kid and they're like playing. And he's like, I see the way your mom's eyeballing me. Keep it up. You can have a new stepdad by the end of the week. And he like posters this like 11-year-old.
I'm excited.
He sees me mowing the lawn.
First practice is Wednesday, so I'm real excited to meet everyone, meet the kids, and get after it.
Assert dominance.
I'm a nice guy.
You are. Until I'm not.
Yeah, and then you're
just
dead.
Like that, I snap. Snip, snap. Snip, snap. You have no idea the toll that 3 vasectomies has on a man.
But, yeah, that's about what's going on in my life.
I love that. So we are doing a, not impromptu.
It's a bastardized.
Be like a, yeah, bastardized special edition Labor Day version kind of episode. So it's going to be a lot shorter. I have family in town that they've been in town all weekend. So timing, didn't really have time to kind of pull everything together. But honestly, the number one reason for not doing full recaps,
we're
on
sad.
That is we're sad and nobody really gives a fuck. Nobody really wants to hear us talk for an hour and 15 minutes about us sucking big
this
assholes.
Past like, week suck. Makes me want to take the forever sleep.
Oh, jeez. Like assisted or unassisted? Like in Oregon where they like, you know, watch you or a little bit
go
of both?
Go ahead.
Or, just yeah.
Dealer's choice.
But on, I don't think anybody wants
you guys ready to hear the most orgasmic sound ever. It's an energy drink. It's not a beer, but
yeah. But nobody wants to hear it. We don't really. It's not even not want to do the work. Didn't really have time. But like nobody wants to hear us break down that we suck and can't score runs. So. We're going to talk a couple hot topics. We're going to talk about the Plesak and Savali injury.
Yeah, I do want to say something first because people are super negative right now and I understand it.
Yeah, and people need to chill. Like,
but here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. Go back to March timeframe, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people thought that right now we would be even close to tied for first place?
Yeah, nobody. We're
nobody.
Still cooking.
You, like, no matter what, like, yes, we're in a position to make a push for the playoffs. And, like, once we realized that, people were like, oh, shit, this team's good. But you have to, like, we've overperformed this year.
Yeah.
We've overexceeded everyone's expectations.
Yep. We very likely will finish over 500. I mean, my guess was 78 wins. We have 30 games left.
I said
on
what?
The nose.
85?
You said 85. Yep. And Quincy even gave you credit this morning in one of his episodes, I heard, which we're both going to be on Quincy's show. He's on vacation, so they were pre-records. So make sure you check out the Guardians fan cast. We're both going to be on it this week.
Yeah.
It should be a good time. Separately, we're on it. But we got 30 games to go. We have 68 wins. And I guess 78. Wins was what I thought in my heart. Quincy guessed that, and that felt pretty good.
I could
there
see
was
us
reason
winning
to believe.
17 more games. We have what? Four against Kansas City this week, which Kansas City's
we
trash.
Have 10 left against Kansas City.
Yeah.
We end the season with
well, I'm saying
six.
I'm saying this week we have four.
Yeah.
And three. Then, oh, is
three.
It three?
Off day on Thursday, and then three against the Twins.
So
we get the Angels, who are just the worst. I mean, we're going to win at least 10 more games. It's very likely we go 500 unless this runaway train, excuse me, just runs all the way off the tracks. We're going to win 10 of the next.
So
we're going to go better than 10 and 20.
People have to realize that, like, we've overperformed. We're playing better than we should have. People have panned out that we didn't know. Go listen to Quincy's episode that I did. I pretty much talked about all of this before the dumpster fire. Because we recorded this before we even, it was after the first one in against Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then we recorded it that next day before we started losing everything. So, like, it puts into perspective, like, baseball is a game completely about ups and downs. And, you have, like, whether we make the playoffs this year or not, this season was a win because we figured so much stuff out for next year and the year after that when we're even more competitive. So people need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah. I agree. Something that bothers me sometimes is, like, I think it's just part of we have a decent presence on Twitter. It's not like I'm not trying to act important. It's just we do. And anytime that I put anything out there that's just like, oh, shit, we suck. Like, it's just it's not tongue in cheek, but I'm not like a doomsday person. That's just baseball. You can't win every one. I'll just be like, we suck right now. Like we do. It doesn't mean I think that the season's over. It's just, we suck right now. And then everyone's like, season's over, all that. Or the people that are like, well, you better not root for him again. You get both sides of people that open that as an invitation to be like, season's over. And I'm like, oh yeah, I just ignore it. And then there's the people that are like, well, you better not root for him then, since you just give up. And I'm just like, you can't win for losing anymore. Quincy and I talked about that too. I think of like, you get to a point.
That's why I please everybody. Really don't like, do the Twitter stuff, because I really do not give a fuck what people think. Like I especially when it comes to like on the podcast Twitter, because there's some people that are just fucking idiots.
Yeah, they're out of pocket.
And if you sit there and read into it, you're just going to get upset and get yourself all worked up. And if you get me upset and I get worked up, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm gonna make you cry.
Yeah, feelings are gonna be hurt. We're not coming back from it.
And yeah, so
but it is what it is. It's just and I do too. I've learned to shut it off. It gets frustrating sometimes, but like, we suck right now, but we're still cooking. Everything you said is absolutely valid. That's we're baseball, gonna finish baby. Above 500.
There's no crying in baseball.
There is no crying in baseball, baby. Yeah, we should very likely finish above 500. We still have a good chance. We just got to get the vibes right. And that's overall kind of what I think we need to talk about before we get into the Plesac and Savali injury and the September call-ups. It's like getting the vibes right. We are absolutely lethargic right now. We showed a little bit of life in last night's game, and then we ended up losing, which was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, but which James, we're lucky. Oh my God, James, I was driving home during that game, right? And I got out, and I was like, oh shit, the game's still going on? And
4.5 hour rain delay. Whoops.
Yeah, I was sitting there and I caught the last out of the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth. I was like, cool, going into extras. James Karinchak came on that whole inning. I was like riding home. I was like, let's fucking go. Yeah. There we go, James. Let's go.
I watched it. Taylor and I went on a date night because my parents are here, right, to watch Everett. So we went out and we had went to dinner and then had some drinks and then we got ice cream and we were really tired at that point. And we were just sitting at Culver's and we were just kind of like chilling, waiting for ice cream. So I was like watching it on my phone and I was just like, I watched the beginning part with the comeback where, Oscar Gonzalez rips the RBI single. And I'm like in Culver's like, like trying to keep it together. Like, let's go.
Austin Hedges put it within one. Sean Murphy ? Yeah.
Sean Murphy hit a grand slam last week, so relax.
Don't give a fuck. Do not care.
He's got like 18 home runs. No, but you know,
did anyone
felt like the vibes were but what?
Is he Austin Hedges?
No, he's not.
Cool. Then suck my ass.
But
Sean Murphy almost said Michael Murphy. Sean Murphy is not a part of this team. Do not give a fuck.
That's fair. But
I ride with mines. I ride with mines.
Yeah, I die with mines. Bad boys for life. But we, the vibes seemed like they were coming back. It's like, okay, let's get a win. Then we're going to roll into Kansas City and let's take care of business.
We're going to drop like, it off.
The vibes are so bad. And I don't say that to be funny. It's just they're awful. Like there's no gas at all in that.
Like, I know we had the off day between the road trip and back home.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that road trip just took a lot out of them and they're just like struggling to bounce back from it. And that's not an excuse because you're a professional baseball player. This is what you signed up for. This is part of the game.
Yeah. And every team is tired. I was about to comment. I was like, every team is tired right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So like, but like,
you're in a division race.
But I think what the difference is a lot of the players on our team haven't done this.
Yeah.
Haven't been a part of a season this long.
Yeah.
Like, think of all the rookies that have been called up that Stephen Kwan's never played 162 games. Oscar Gonzalez has never played 162 games. You know what I mean? Like, I know Luke Maley's bounced around from club to club, but he's been like a triple A guy, right?
Quadruple A kind of guy up and down, all that.
But like a lot of players on this team haven't played Josh Naylor's never played 162.
Yeah, and his ankle and stuff. He's starting to show.
I don't. Did I'm pretty sure Jimenez played 162 with New York, right?
100 and something, but no, this is his first.
So, like, a lot of our core players haven't played 162, and that makes a huge difference. Like, your body's not used to it. You're not used to playing this many games every day. You're not used to playing this late into the year. You know what I mean? So,
oh, it absolutely does.
And that's where having veterans on your team helps. It gets these guys more ready. It gets them used to it.
Yeah.
And it gets them expecting stuff. And those veterans are used to playing all those games. So I think that's why we're having a harder time than most teams. Because I do think that's completely these guys legitimate. Are so young.
Yeah. And let's transition that. We'll do kind of the second hot topic. It doesn't matter what order, because we can kind of get on this topic now, is the September call-ups. So we were really hoping, we kind of knew we were going to see Cody Morris, and we figured that maybe Eli would get sent down for him. A reminder, rosters expand just one. Remember when it used to go to 40, which is just wild. Like, you get one more, so you go from 26 to 27. And we kind of knew Cody Morris was waiting in the wings to be a long reliever, maybe a little bit of a spot start kind of some of that stuff. But we end up getting the news that Guardians recalled Ernie Clement, so he was the 27th man, and then we DFA'd Anthony Castro, and we added. We added Cody Morris. So we knew Cody was coming. Adding Ernie was very frustrating because it's not so much adding Ernie, because we need a true super utility guy. That's fine. He really is a super utility. What's frustrating is that how in the hell you need fresh blood, right? We need some like extra oomph in the clubhouse. Okay. How do you keep Owen Miller on this team? Balls at first base. Okay. You keep Tyler Freeman on this team who just sits all the time, like until the last game or two. He just sits all week and like never gets used.
He played third base yesterday. I only listened to a couple innings, but it seemed like in those couple innings, he went 2 for 5, right?
I think he might have. Yeah, he just never gets any like timing, you know what I mean? Or he never gets any time. But I'm just saying, this is all redundant. Owen Miller does nothing exceptionally well.
First base. Like, well. I didn't know that's what you were going to say.
Yeah,
like, only thing that Owen Miller gives us is he can play first base and get Josh Naylor off his feet.
And he's mid. I mean, he sucks at first base. So it's like, how do you justify Owen Miller, who's got like a 60 WRC plus basically since May, like ever since that hot streak, he's ass. He now has over 600 plate appearances in Major League, which is usually what people like to see to get an idea of what a hitter is. And he might have a little more in there, but he's not it right now. Then you have Tyler Freeman, who is a utility guy for you, who you're keeping on the bench, who's young and hungry, and has a much higher hit tool than Owen Miller. No power, but a really high hit tool. And then you have Ernie now, who is your super utility guy, who's going to give you that defense. Like, what are we doing with these redundancies?
Have we put Ernie at first? I don't know if
he's played first before.
We have played him at first. Okay.
Yeah. And you just got to believe in him anyway that he obviously would play better than. Like, what are we doing with Owen Miller on this lineup? Or in this, we're not serious. Like, and Tito was batting him like 6th above Andrés Giménez. Like, that is inexcusable. What are we doing? He DH'd him the other day. How the fuck are you going to DH Owen Miller and bat him above Andrés Giménez? Like, Andrés Giménez is like our second best hitter. Like,
Andrés Giménez has been pretty cold the past like couple weeks, though.
Yeah, well, not colder than, not the last couple weeks, but he's a little bit cooler, but he's still like Owen Miller? Like,
what are we doing? I know exactly what you're saying. But
Owen Miller and Ernie Clement. Like, how do you not how do you not send down? You want some fresh blood, right? Some energy, okay? Bring Gabriel Arias up, okay? And then take Owen down, and he can be that guy. He can play as good a defense, if not better, than Ernie can. He's been getting some reps in the outfield, and he plays like platinum glove defense, right? And he's got a little bit of pop. Now, offensively, worst case scenario, you're going to get about the same output, but your ceiling is a lot higher than
slow this year, right, though?
He was, but he's been heating up at Triple A finally. Okay. He's finally getting a little bit of rhythm.
Because I know when okay, we the other part of it would he be wasn't he didn't really perform.
No, he didn't, but the guys aren't performing now. You know what I mean? Like yeah. get some fresh no, blood. The biggest one is Nolan Jones, okay? He's been tearing the cover off the ball at Triple A again. Yeah. And it's because he's a hitter. He just needs consistent reps. And you've got him a couple reps at first base down there, but he's not even getting regular reps, if I'm not mistaken, at AAA, which makes everybody scratch their head. But if you're going to DH anybody and try and rotate that, how do you have Owen Miller versus yeah. Nolan Jones, who can smack the ball? Like, that's no, some no. more energy. Get him up here. No. And then the final yeah. one is Will Brennan has like a 900 OPS at AAA. All year, he's been cooking. He has been.
Yeah, you're right, up. But they might not want to start his service time.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue, though. Like, we got to figure this stuff out.
That's
like,
the only thing that's the only thing that makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's realistically, that's the only thing that I can think of that would justify it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've been willing to start it on everybody. We're trying to win we're trying to get in the playoffs. And, like, yeah. I see Tito make game moves now, besides some of these lineups that make me want to just jump off a bridge that are inexcusable. Sleep.
That's where my I said take the forever sleep. That's been my go-to lately because I've realized that for some reason it really frustrates people. Instead of saying like unalive yourself, jump off a bridge, play in oncoming traffic, just say go take the forever sleep. And then they're like, wait, what?
Yeah. It does catch me off guard. I've never heard anybody say it, so it does stop me in my tracks.
I don't know where I heard it or if I heard it anywhere or if my brain just came up with it, but
Yeah, here we are. But Will Brennan, you know, we're finally starting to see Will Benson start over Miles Straw a little bit more, which is great because he plays a really good center field.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to beat Straw.
Really good plays.
But he's made some really, really nice plays.
Yeah.
And the offensive ceiling is so much higher than Straw. We still believe in him. I want him on this team. He's going to figure it out. But he, at this point, needs an offseason to rework his entire – like, he's broken. He needs to start once every 3 days and really just be that defensive replacement pinch runner that I've talked about him maybe moving into for like months now. And so bring Will Brennan up. Like, your offensive ceiling is going to be higher. We've started the clock on all these guys. I really don't think it's that. I think it's just lack of moves.
What else would it be then?
Negligence? Why do we have Ernie Clement, Tyler Freeman, and fucking Owen Miller on the same roster? Like, that's it's just head scratching decisions to do this by the front office / Tito. I don't know. Like, I don't know how
much say Tito has in it.
Yeah. And he may be the I hate to always say Quincy, but we think similarly, and obviously we love Quincy. He brought up a good point. He's like, I wonder sometimes if Tito, and I don't buy into this very much, but it's a thought. If Tito makes these lineups to kind of show the front office, I need fucking help. Like, I'm out here fighting for my life. Like, I'm DHing Owen Miller, like, find God. I don't buy all the way into that, but I could see it being a thing. But it's just like, you got to try and win these games. Like, you got to do what you can. We're tied for first place by the grace of God. We are 4 games above 500. It is amazing that we are tied for first place. You want to get your feelings hurt? Go look around the rest of the league, and every first place team is up like 15 games above 500. You'll hurt your feelings a little bit.
New York has been not what the Yankees were at the
first. Well, they've been terrible.
And they're still 5 games above Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah. They've been terrible. They've crashed and burned going like 10-20 or
something. Aaron Judge skipped batting practice yesterday to go see a chiropractor because he's tired of carrying 26 other fucking dudes on his back.
I saw this thing that said without Aaron Judge, the Yankees OPS would be like 660 as a team. Like, holy shit.
I really hope Aaron Judge signs somewhere else this offseason.
Oh, he will. I think he knows he's going to with the only reason he bet on himself. I think he's gone.
He's going to get a bag.
Yes, he's at 53. But we need blood.
Imagine Aaron Judge on this team.
I know, holy fuck. Shit. I would poop my pants. We need some right-handed slugging and you add Aaron Judge. I'm going to come. Actually, like, I would blow. It'd be over. You could
just DH him. Either, like, or have him play right field.
It like, plays a great right field. Oh my yeah. God. Stephen Kwan, Aaron Judge, Jose Ramirez.
Andres Jimenez, Josh Naylor, Austin Hedges.
Just shut up. Don't shut up. I see what you did. I trusted you. But we need fresh blood. I really hope they make some transaction moves yeah. ahead of Kansas City today, because not only are we sucking right now and we can't score to save our life, we have to get some just yeah. young, just some energy in that. Well, like mix something up.
I man. Think that mix against Kansas City is when you kind of hope that the guys you have now figure it out. Like you're playing the varsity is scrimmaging the JV team right now. So
yeah. Oh, we got to cook them. I don't say this too often because it's dramatic. Okay. But anything less than 2 out of 3 is unacceptable. Like, yeah. It's just flat out unacceptable. It is. No consequence would come out of that. Me saying it's unacceptable changes nothing about this team, but it's unacceptable. Yeah. Like, 2 out of 3, we really need to sweep and get the vibes right. But it's hard to take this team seriously or. It's kind of like that meme from, what is it, Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the guy in the hot dog suit who's like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Like,
yeah.
Like, you have Owen Miller, Tyler Freeman, and Ernie Clement on the same roster. Like, what's going to happen is going to happen, and it's kind of your fault a little bit. It's not all, they're not losing us games necessarily, but it's like,
they're not winning us games. Give Nolan Jones. Either.
Yeah. Like, we're not winning. Like, come on. And then that leads me into. The next thing that we learned on Friday, I was busy as shit at work. Busy as shit. And I finally open up Twitter. I work till like 6 o'clock on Friday, which I know people
Friday.
Work. Okay. I love that for you.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Which usually Fridays are slower, but I worked like all day. I worked till like 6 o'clock or something. I mean, I was just cooking. And I finally like look at my phone and I see that Mandy Bell tweeted out that Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac were both placed on the IL. And I was like, what? No.
And our, our starting pitching health has been solid all year.
Yeah. And I had just whispered that the other day to somebody. I was like, we've low-key been... I think it was after this. I told Quincy. I was like, low-key, we've been real healthy all year.
Yeah.
Like, Civale had some issues. This is kind of like... the worst time for it to happen. But I was thinking about it before this happened, like earlier in the week. I was thinking to myself, man, we've been really lucky with injuries. And I didn't say it out loud, so don't blame it on me. And then this happened. But Zach Plesac and Aaron Civale to the IL. Xavion Curry and Kirk McCarty added to the roster. And what's really interesting about this, so Aaron Civale has right forearm inflammation. It seems like he's probably just going to be done for the year. Like, trouble all year, and that one hurts worse than Plesac, because Civale has been pitching pretty well and giving us a chance to win recently. And then Zach Plesac has a right hand fracture, and you cannot make this up. We then learn, Zach Meisel says, the thinking is that Zach Plesac injured his hand while punching the dirt on the mound after surrendering a home run to Jake Lamb in his last start in Seattle. And that Cody Morris was going to start on Friday night then. And then he said Curry would start Saturday. That's not important. But then we also get more detail from Mandy Bell that Tito said Plesac's palm on his right hand, which is his pitching hand, of course, was swollen after his last outing. And then after he gave up the homer to Jake Lamb in the 7th, he punched the ground in frustration. And they're assuming that's what caused the fracture. Zach Plesac is the biggest fucking loser in the entire world. This See, is now twice.
Now, here's the thing, right?
I am so ready. I'm gonna talked
about the whole Chris Sale thing when he destroyed the minor league dugout, and people were fine with that. They're like, oh, that's like he's just frustrated. It's passion. You can't be okay with one and not the other.
I don't remember talking about the Chris Sale thing and destroying.
I think we did not. We didn't do it on the podcast.
Okay. But well, like, he broke his hand from being an idiot. Like, we are trying to get in the playoffs. Quincy again, but he's right. I believe him. Zach Plesac will not make another start for the Cleveland Guardians ever in his career. Like, he's
you
done.
You think so?
100%. There's a 0% chance he pitches for this organization.
I mean,
strike three, baby. Chicago, breaking his hand from taking his jersey off, blow me. You're a liar. You're an idiot. and then punching the mound, like already having a swollen hand, punching it and breaking, like he will not pitch for this. And being a shitty fifth starter at, but like a decent fifth starter on your best day, a shitty, not shitty, I shouldn't get overreact here. A definition of a fifth starter day in and day out, mm-hmm. nothing special. Been pitching a lot worse than that lately, except for the Mariners one, which is the weirdest start ever, I'm pretty convinced. But your ceiling is like a solid four, but you are a fifth starter at
best.
Well,
in one of these games, didn't Bieber have a game where he gave up three hits and they were all three solo shots?
No.
No, all three home runs he gave up. All three runs he gave up
were solo shots. Yeah. Well, like, he's a number five. He's replaceable. It's not like we're trying to deal with a number two that you're like, God, we got to put
up.
Like,
see the argument. I still like Zach Plesac. I mean, I've done dumb shit where I've hurt myself by punching a wall or some shit. So, like, I understand the frustration. I've done dumb shit like this when I played baseball. I've done dumb shit like this when I played football. Like, your emotions get the best of you. It happens. It sucks that you got hurt. But all the time we say that they're human beings. They have emotions. They have feelings. Yeah, but absolutely. Then people get upset when they let those emotions show. And they're like, well, you're a professional athlete. You need to carry yourself better. No, like, he's had a tough season. You imagine the entire year. You're just getting dogged, and you just can't, like, no matter what you do, you can't seem to get right. And even when you do get it right, you get no help, and you get one, like, you give up one run or like two runs, and you can't get any offensive support, and like so much frustration, and it all boils over to this one moment and one moment of weakness where you let your emotions show, and you let frustration out, and you hit the ground, and you break your hand. Everyone's like, "Oh, look at this fucking idiot." Like, the dude's had a tough year. Like, he let his guard, like, his frustration got the best of him in a moment where he got bested. Like, worst case scenario happened, and they're assuming that's what happened where he broke his wrist. But, like, it's not like he was off doing dumb shit, like riding a motorcycle without a license and getting into a car accident. You know, like, he let his emotion get the best of him. He's a human being. It's allowed to happen. Like, it's not like he's out there doing dumb shit. He's frustrated.
I mean, it's pretty dumb to punch the mound. But I get the human emotion side. Listen, we love when Karinchak loses his mind, when Cal Quantrill loses his mind. We understand frustration. I can totally get behind that. You're allowed to be pissed off. Yell into your glove, like, take a couple laps around the mound, like, show it. If you get in the clubhouse, if he would have went into the dugout and just fucking threw his glove at the Gatorade or just fucking yeeted it or something, or he kicks the Gatorade, not a great look, but I would not fault him for that. I promise I wouldn't. I understand that. You can't punch the fucking ground and break your hand. You're a loser. Like,
so what happens if he punches the ground and doesn't break his hand?
That's not what happened. So, I mean, he shouldn't punch the ground with your pitching hand. I mean, obviously, you don't have your glove on that hand, so that's the one you would use. But, like, find a different way to show emotion. If this was the first time it happened, it's like, you're an idiot. Like, come on. This is
we don't know what happened the second. We don't know what happened the first time. You can't make assumptions.
We 100% know. His excuse was, I was pulling my jersey off while sitting down, and as I took it off and put my hand down, I clipped my thumb on the chair and broke my thumb. Give me a break. And he even did an interview with Chris Rose on the Chris Rose rotation, and listening to it was even more bullshit. Like, he was trying to defend it, and it was just like, come on, like, your story makes no sense. Like, you broke it doing that.
It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. Like,
I know is he's done stupid like, I don't know about you, but I've never broken a finger taking off my shirt.
You broke your finger playing dodgeball, bro.
I did, which is an athletic thing. It clipped my thumb while I was holding a ball.
Wait, it did what? A dodgeball? Foam ball clipped your thumb and it broke. If you bring your hand down and gets caught on a chair, is that far-fetched?
Yeah, it is. How the fuck does that? You take your shirt off. You know, that's how you take your shirt off.
You take it off, and when you have to, what, you expect him to just walk around with his arms up?
Yeah, you got to do the, like, sensual, like, peel it off.
At
like,
what point your arms got to come down? If your arms comes down, right? Imagine, your arm comes down.
I know, and then technically you bring your arm down.
And then
that's not how he broke his thumb.
Gets caught on an armrest or some shit. It's not super far. Like, yeah, it's unlikely. It's not super far-fetched. But you can't prove any. Like, you can't prove that he did some. So it's all speculation, and like that's unfair to assume something against someone's character like that.
We also went out in Chicago with Mike Clevenger when Cookie had leukemia in the middle of the COVID season. So that's another strike. And that just happened. And he lied about it, if I'm not mistaken.
Clevenger lied about it. I don't think
Plesak lied about it. Plesak, I think, took the fall.
Yeah.
No. Plesak did. And then Plesak released some stupid video on Instagram. I can't remember what he said, but he kind of tried to defend it and why he did it. It was not a good look.
Plesak didn't lie about it because the main reason why Cleveland got rid of Clevenger is because they couldn't trust him because he lied about it.
Yeah. So, sorry, he didn't lie about it. I think he took the fall, and then we learned Clevenger was with him. But then Plesak did, like, the next day, like, do this weird video where he was, like, defending himself and kind of, like, taking shots back at, like, people judging, you know, and it was not a good look. So, it's strike two or three, whatever you want. It's still very, very
suspect. I mean, I could still say, like, my biggest thing is, you never know what like a guy's going through or a person's going through, even off, like maybe there's stuff going on off the field and it's like just emotions boiled over.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm never going to have emotions. I'm never going to come at somebody, call them a loser or a bitch or anything for letting emotion show. Like, yeah, it's unfortunate they broke his wrist showing those emotions, but like, I've had friends headbutt lockers at halftime in football games. I've had friends punch lockers. I've had friends walk into a dugout and punch a wall. Like, shit happens. Like, it's normal. Emotions boil over. Fucking the other week, Aaron Donald started swinging helmets at Bengals players in a joint practice. Like, this is part of sports.
It's hard to... Football and baseball and like the actions and stuff are not to be overly compared, but I get what you're saying. They're feel like they're two different breeds at times.
But well, yeah, regardless, because football's more physical, so yes, there's going to be more physical like reactions. But the thing is, Plesak's before he's a pitcher, he's an athlete and ultra competitive. And if he's not putting his team into the best chance to win, you can see it affects him. And he cares.
He does care.
All that stuff boiled over, and I think it just got the best of him.
His actions just don't align with what the Guardians organization
and expects. That's fair. And I can respect that. But like, I'm not going to call him a loser for letting emotions show.
Yeah, I think that's a simple oversimplification. From my mind, but we see it a little differently, but it is what it is. It just sucks. I mean, Plesak, I mean, that sucks down the stretch because now we got to bring these other guys up and he's still a major league pitcher, you know, so when you do the odds, you know, you got to hope that, you know, he's been there more and you like your odds more. But I mean, the Smalley one hurts more. He's been pitching better. He's been showing you, he's been giving you close to quality starts and just the quality. You could see him just getting back into a rhythm and becoming like, okay, Savali again, like a number three, a number four. That one really hurts a lot more than Plesak. But this team's down bad, man.
The Plesak thing hurts more to me.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But
well, not even that. Like, yes, Savali's been like starting to turn around. But like
Savali's best and Plesak's best. Savali, like if they're both pitching to their ability, even their average ability, right? Not even ceilings, average. Savali is a better pitcher than Plesak.
Who's been around that? Like, so cool. Your ceiling can be better at a certain point. Quantity has to take a factor.
I know. I said not even ceiling. I said your average. I'm saying
quantity of innings pitched and outings has to take a factor into it at a certain point.
Yeah.
Who's given you more innings this year?
Plesak has. Yeah, he has. He also was out for like 6 fucking weeks last year because he decided to punch a chair. But
Savali's been out how long this year?
Yeah, he spent a lot of time out. He's okay. Something, I don't know what's wrong, but I don't know if he needs surgery. I doubt he pitches again this year, but whatever it is with his hand.
It doesn't matter why you're missing games. You're missing games.
Oh, he's missing games. I'm not. One of those has direct. He punched the ground. So, like, that's not. I'm just saying.
Do we know how Aaron Savali hurt his arm?
I am very confident because the dude doesn't even so much as smile or frown. He's just always like Kluber that he did not punch something. I feel very confident.
So you know what goes on in the clubhouse or at home?
I feel confident about what I've seen.
That's not what I asked.
The reporters don't think that.
That's he's not what just I got asked.
Nerve. I don't know what happens.
Okay,
there,
cool. But you have no idea.
I don't have any idea, okay, but he didn't punch something.
All right, cool. That's all you had to say.
He doesn't punch it. You're not making some gotcha on me. He didn't punch something. He just hurt his arm. I can't, but okay. that's a slippery slope to go down. But down the stretch, I think it hurts more not to have Savali the way that he was going. But it sucks to we're missing two of our pieces, and one of these young guys needs to step up. And this week, Morris, I will say, slight criticism of Hedges, was calling for a lot of fastballs, even though his off-speed stuff was looking good. A lot of fastballs. Saw a lot of people that actually know what they're talking about, not just the hive of Guardians Twitter talking shit. A lot of people I respect saying, like, why does Hedges keep calling all these fastballs?
That was against the Orioles. It was against the Orioles?
I think.
With a lot
no,
of
it, maybe it must have been the Mariners, right? It had to have been Friday. Hang on, let me double check. I think it was Friday Morris started. Yes, Friday he started.
Maybe they think
and that, I know a lot of people.
Maybe they think Seattle just hits off speed pitches better.
Yeah.
There's more that goes into like his off speed stuff's looking better, but like maybe Seattle hits off speed pitches better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, and everybody has bad games, so like Hedges could have just not been on at that game. Like, it doesn't change my opinion of Hedges' game calling. I'm just saying I know people like Morris didn't necessarily step up, even though his stuff looked pretty good. I was just saying that a lot of people, and I didn't get to watch a lot of that one, that Hedges' game calling, they couldn't understand why they were going so fastball and heavy, and they were crushing the fastballs.
On top of that, like, yeah, his off-speed stuff could have been playing better. That doesn't mean he was more confident in his off-speed stuff. You know what I mean? It still could have felt off to him. So there's conversations and stuff that a pitcher and catcher have that go into it that just
sometimes
watching,
you're gonna call
you
the wrong pitch.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be location from Morris, and it could be just calling the wrong pitch. Like, Hedges isn't perfect. Yeah. Morris isn't perfect. It's just we're interested to see what he's going to do, and that was some commentary. And then Xavion Curry went Saturday. That was his second one. And he walked 5, gave up 5 hits off the top of my head, and gave up like 3 earned runs in 4 1/3 innings. But other than the walks, you know, he was hanging in there for a while. I think he had 4 1/3, a 2-run, and then he just walked like the bases loaded before he got pulled. And like 5 walks ain't going to do it, but he's a gamer. We'll see. We need someone to step up. I mean, at some point, people are asking, like, are we going to see Williams or Bibee? Like, yeah. It might be, or we might see these people soon. But one of these guys from the pitching side needs to step up and grab the reins and go. Like, if we don't expect you to be, remember like when Plesac came up and he had a couple really good starts, or like some of these guys get called up and they just earn their spot. And it's like, we need one of these guys to just stick and that really help us down the stretch here. But, so some impromptu news and notes after Wednesday's game, which was game 2 of the Orioles won, and we lost that game. Didn't we get shut out?
Yes.
It was 4-0. Mandy Bell tweeted out in this one that it's more of a fun fact, not really fun, but that the Guardians bullpen's scoreless inning streak ended at 32 1/3 innings, which sucked, but it was going to happen eventually.
Karen checks at like 26 or 20, 24, 26. inning straight without giving up. I know, I think
the record's 30 from Andrew Miller, I think Hammy was saying last night.
Yeah, and he's at like 24, 26. It was one of those. It's like somewhere in that range of scoreless innings. I'm like, God damn. Like, he walked the bases loaded last night. He gave up a base hit.
It was the runner on second.
No, he gave up a base hit. Yeah, the runner on second and third. Yeah, it was extra inning, so I thought that was implied.
Walked a guy.
Yeah. Walked the bases loaded, got someone to pop up.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant walked three to load the bases.
No.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, so got the base hit. Now you have runners on first and third. Julio Rodriguez sole second, walked the runner to first, and then got a pop-up in foul territory, a shallow pop-up to left field that Kwan made a great play on, and then another pop-up to, like, shallow center. And I was like, God, Karinchak is losing his fucking mind right now. Like, I didn't watch it. He probably had an exorcism. Like,
it was less than you'd think, but then I realized what happened was he, like, went to go in the dugout, and then he walked up the third base line by the dugout. I don't know if he was giving high fives, and then he went back and went in the dugout. I was like, oh, okay, because that seemed too tame. Something.
Yeah. So, Karinchak's playing out of his fucking mind. And I keep seeing stuff on Twitter, kind of like what I said, like there's got to be something with the hair. He's getting checked every inning. Like,
it's sweat and rosin or something, dude. I don't know.
Like,
but
here's the thing.
Baseball also isn't like as serious about the checks. Like, they're checking, but
they're just checking the throwing hand to see if there's anything sticky on his fingers, which is all you have to do. Yeah. If there's nothing sticky on the fingers, obviously he's not using sticky stuff. Like, your fingers would be sticky. So, even if he is, it's allowed. So, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. True. Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to take this one? Doesn't matter. We're kind of different.
Sure. Guardians Perspective tweeted out on Thursday that Tanner Bibee, with his 10th straight start for Akron, allowing two runs or less, his ERA is now a 1.29. Six innings, four hits, no runs, a walk, five strikeouts. And then on the season with Akron, 55 2/3, 38 hits, nine runs, eight of them were earned, nine walks, 57 strikeouts, a 1.29 ERA. Nine walks in 55 innings. That's nuts.
Dude, a 1.29 ERA. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then that was on Wednesday, Thursday, excuse me. And then also on Thursday, the MLB Team of the Month came out, and Karinchak was the reliever chosen. So for the MLB Team of the Month.
But then what's weird is that Emmanuel Clase got named the American League Reliever of the Month. So how is Karinchak, like, you know what,
well, I mean? I think that the first one might be from Bleacher Report.
Okay.
I think. And I'm sorry I didn't put that in there, because, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I think the first one was from Bleacher Report, and then, like, MLB's official reliever
of the month. You know what I mean? Like, how is Class A the reliever of the month, but Karinchak's the reliever of the month? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But he beat out Edwin Diaz, which is impressive. Yeah. Like, because obviously there's all the hype right there.
Yeah. What's funny is they have Aaron Judge in center field. I'm assuming they just picked three outfielders, but
no, he's been playing a lot of center.
Really?
Yeah, he plays a lot of center field.
I do not watch the Yankees, because fuck the Yankees.
Oh, I don't either. I just got a little pulse on stuff. But yeah, congratulations to both of them. They are cooking. Which, by the way, Clase's ERA down to 1.11 ERA. Karinchak, 108 ERA. Checked.
They're back, baby. Remember last year where they were like throwing haymakers at each other to see who was going to be our closer? Not literally, but like they were both fighting to be our closer. And we're like, we don't know who's going to. And then Clase took off and Karinchak died. But
yeah,
they're back, baby. Like, the 1-2 punch is back. Good. Ebony and Ivory are back.
It's over for you bitches. You understand me? You get it to that eighth inning, you stand no chance.
No chance.
You're going to think you have a little chance? They're going to suck
Karen all the hope out of them. Karinchak's going to like walk someone, but then three strikeouts. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. He's going to donate to that police department.
Yeah. It's fucking Blue Karen Lives Crack's
going to get his.
That
yeah.
Might cut that out.
On Friday, Mandy Bell tweeted out, and this is, again, just kind of a fact, but I just some talking points, that our scoreless streak was over. The Guardians had not scored a run in 27 consecutive innings, and it ended at 27. And according to the team, it's the longest such streak for Cleveland since July 7th through July 13th in 1991, when they went 28 innings without scoring a run, which is really, really, really bad.
Even worse is that the last time Cleveland scored one run in a four-game stretch was July 3rd through the 6th in 1961.
Yeah. 61 years. That's really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, and then on Sunday, so yesterday, they had a 4-hour and 33-minute rain delay, which was ridiculous. They made it to like the top of the fourth,
yeah,
with a runner on first and second, nobody out. And it stayed frozen like that on the MLB app for 4 hours and 33 minutes until they started the game back up, which is wild. And I believe there weren't concessions during that time. I saw somebody tweet at us and say, I'm at the game. Everybody had to tweet at the Guardians official Twitter account to tell them to open up concessions. I'm pretty sure they didn't really, I don't know that for a fact, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like they didn't really have concessions during that time, or maybe very limited. And like, that's ridiculous. But yeah, Apparently they gave them a coupon, an outdated coupon for like, what did somebody tweet at me? Us. What did they? I'll find it. But they gave them a buy one, get one free hot dog voucher for concessions. And then there was something about, it'll be right here. They said, this person, Fabler of the 937, tweeted at us and Reflog and said, they started their game after a 4.5-hour weather delay with zero concession stands. After some tweeting, they opened one stand. Now they're giving out buy one, get one free hot dog coupons for the store. So sorry, store, not even at the game. And an expired go-kart facility coupon. And there is a picture of it. It expired on August 31st.
That's so bad.
It is.
We also learned that.
Later that day that the Guardians recalled Connor Pilkington and options Xavion Curry, which is fine. Like, Xavion Curry still, a lot of people say he's got a lot of grit and a lot of great makeup. But Connor Pilkington probably gives us the smoothest chance for five innings, three runs. Like, we're going to keep plugging and playing. Obviously we got to figure out a way to do this. And then the AL Central standings real fast. Now tied, unfortunately, with the Twins. We're both 68-64. We're 2-8 in our last 10, which, Jesus Christ, we've lost 5 in a row. Good teams, or great teams, however you want to phrase it. You can't go on skids like this. We've got to snap it tonight. And the fact that we only have tied up going 2-8 and losing 5 in a row, and that we're tied for the division is a miracle, because the White Sox won 2 out of 3 against the Twins. And Twins beat Boston twice this week.
Yeah.
So they gained a game on Wednesday because we won on Tuesday. Then Boston beat them later in the game, I think, with a comeback on Thursday, and we lost. So thank God. And then the White Sox won Friday and Saturday when we lost. So they went from like 5 games back down to like 2 now, or 4-2, and held the Twins at bay. And then we lost last night, and the Twins won. So yeah, it's a miracle.
Minnesota's going to New York for this series. Which
we all know what happens there, baby.
Yeah.
The Yankees own the Minnesota Twins. They are full-time owners of the Minnesota Twins franchise.
So we have to take these 3 games against Kansas City.
Get if you can sweep, there's a very good chance, like realistically, that we will at least get 2 games back if we sweep. Like, at least. They are going, the Twins' kryptonite is the Yankees. It is crazy how much they dominate the Twins. So if we sweep, there's a good chance they could get swept, or again, at least get two of those. You know what, and I just get
thought about?
Get some kind of buffer, dog.
So with these City Connect jerseys, I wonder what New York's, like the Yankees, would look like. Because like you think of the Yankees, right? You think of the pinstripes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine them wearing anything else other than the pinstripes and the grays.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. You know they what might I mean? Not wear them just because it's such a classic jersey. Well,
you thought the same thing about the Dodgers, but the Dodgers had theirs.
Did they?
Yeah, they had the Los Dodgers ones, I think, right?
Did they have City Connect?
I think last the Dodgers year. Did.
Okay.
Maybe. Let me
type that in. I don't think they did. Oh, maybe they did. Oh, they were all blue. Yeah, because I didn't like them. They were like their pants and everything were all blue.
Yeah.
And it does say Los Dodgers. Yeah.
The Los Doyers.
Los Doyers. But it's like, amazing. You know what
I mean? Like the even the Dodgers uniforms are iconic. And you thought like they wouldn't.
I'm just saying the Yankees are so like they do it a certain way. You have to shave. Like, I don't know if they'll ever participate. We'll see.
Maybe I mean, I thought Nike said that they were doing all 30 teams.
They probably will. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting. Just a food for thought as we're wrapping this up.
Okay. That is a good point, though. The White Sox are in third. They're 2 games back. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They're back to .500. And thank God, you know, we're never White Sox fans, but thank God, because, they helped us out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Kansas City, 14.5 back, non-starter, and Detroit 18 games does not literally matter at all. We're lucky to be in this position. We're 4 games above .500, and it's kind of pathetic, and we're still tied for first. But it don't matter. This team in a weak beats division. Good teams. So, like, we play in a weak division. It is what it is. But we're way ahead of schedule anyway, like you talked about. And this team, what we do is we beat teams above .500 until we went 1-5 against the Orioles and Mariners. So I don't know what our record is now, but I think we're still probably above .500 against teams that are above .500, which is a weird phrase. But when the vibes are right and we get it all out, this team can compete. You know what I mean? We're going to put up a fight if we can get the Rays or the Blue Jays in the first round. Like, we're not going to just get rolled. We can put up a fight. And that's how I know that I don't feel guilty. We play in a soft-ass division. We wouldn't have a chance in any other one. And we're not going to get the wild card. Because right now, since we're tied, it shows us and the Twins both in the division. And it shows us in the wild card. And we're 5 games out. Like,
yeah.
We're not getting a wild card. Like, we got to win this division. But we would stand a chance, and you know, and
once you get in the playoffs, anything's possible.
Yeah, and if you're gonna bottom out when we did, there's never a good time. But like, just time to turn it around. You know what I mean? Like the Twins against the Yankees. Like we get to decide our own fate later this week against the Twins.
We have like around 30 games left, right?
Yeah, and I think 20 of them at least are against, like, almost 20 are against the Central.
Well, so we have, like, 30 games left. Now's the time to go on a hot streak going into the playoffs. Like, now you had your skid. Now it's time to bounce back. Like, you have to turn this around.
Even cost you the division yet. Yeah. Like, you're tied. You're lucky. You're not even, like, you're not even behind.
You don't even have to fight. All you have to do now is just win.
Yeah, you got it. And I think I tweeted that out on Saturday or Sunday where I said, worst case scenario, hopefully we just are tied come into Monday. And like, for how we're playing, we're lucky as hell. We could be down like 3 games easily. We could be down 3 and games feeling like bad.
We just 3 games against the Royals, who are 55-80 and 5-5 in their last 10, and just kick their ass.
Decide your own fate. Get the vibes right. Go into Minnesota. Take 2 out of 3. Or survive, depending on, you know, like, we'll see.
And both these games are on the road, so.
Yeah, so that is a little factor. But we get an off day on Thursday. And then, so we can get into kind of the series preview. So 3 against the Royals, 3 against the Twins. We talked about the Royals, talked about our record. We're 4 games up and not playing well lately. tonight at 8:10, T-Mac versus Brady Singer. T-Mac's 9-11, 3.18 ERA versus Brady Singer, 7-4 with a 3.33 ERA. So he's actually having a decent year. But I don't care. We need to cook him. So, and it's tough to get home runs out in Kauffman. So that should play to T-Mac's.
Yeah.
Strength. Keep the ball in the park. Dominate. Then Tuesday, 8:10 start, Bieber with a 3.06 ERA versus Bubich, which is a hilarious name, who's a lefty, who's 2-10 with a 5.47 ERA, which means he's going to cook us because we can't hit shitty left-handed pitchers. But come on, like Bieber versus Bubich, like a guy named Bubich, yeah. Find God. Like, you got to beat this guy. Wednesday is going to be, if the app decides to probably load, Quantrill. Is actually TBD. TBD, but yeah, well, no, because even though he only went 4 innings yesterday, that's still only 3 days.
Oh, off. Yeah, true. I forgot he went yesterday.
So that's probably Pilkington, but it's a TBD for both. That's an 8:10 start. Then we have Thursday off. Friday is an 8:10 start against Minneapolis. Obviously, no pitchers announced yet. Saturday, 7:15 in Minneapolis. Sunday, 2:10. And then we come back home the next week, and then we get the Angels at home for 3, which, come on.
You got to beat up the Angels. They have the two best players in all of baseball, but their team sucks.
Yeah, like, we got to get this done. No excuses. So, yeah, that is kind of an abbreviated episode right around, what, the hour mark here?
Hour
little,
three.
Just a hair over. But this is good. I had a lot of fun. It was less of a cluster than I thought it might be because yeah. I put some stuff in here, but it was going to be, let's just see where the vibes take
us. Let us know what you guys think about this. Like,
something completely different.
Yeah, if you guys like the just super abbreviated game recaps more, let us know. Like, let us know what you guys feel. Way less work for us. So if you guys like it more and it's less work for us, dope.
Yeah. Do something probably a little in between with a little, you know,
well, more. We'll talk about the games more, but like not go as far in depth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, let us know. That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's just get this thing turned around, man. Vibes are off. Let's get them back. Get rolling. And it's amazing. I cannot say it enough. It's amazing we're still tied with this dumpster fire we went on. So decide your own fate. All right. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, follow, and turn on automatic downloads wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Please consider leaving us a review. It really helps us out and lets us know you're enjoying the content. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and TikTok at 216 Baseball Pod, Instagram as well. And in the episode description, there will be a link to our website, which is incredible. That'll give you access to our Discord channels, which we're active in and is popping off. The Patreon, if you feel so inclined to support the show that way. And also our merch store. Make sure you check that out. And we're going to be back next Monday to give you a breakdown of the Royals and Twins series. Hopefully have some good news and some better vibes to talk about. But in the meantime, cards up.
Cards up, baby. Let's go.